Good morning, everyone. I'm calling the Housing and Transportation Committee meeting to order. This is November 10, 2022. The meeting will be recorded. This is Sandy Stang, and the first thing of order would be Pledge of Allegiance. And that's Elizabeth today.
All right, everybody will please stand. Okay, ready? Begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America
and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for
all. And then Linda Barcelona, can you take roll call? Is she here?
I'm here.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Charlene Ashendor.
Present.
I'm present. Denise Barnes.
Present.
Thank you. Elizabeth Busick.
Present.
Helen Cameron.
Oh, Helen told me she'd be absent today.
Okay, thank you.
There's another meeting to go to.
Okay. Amelia Castro. See her yet. Jerry Chang?
Yes.
Thank you. Jean Hernandez, sorry about that. Jean Hernandez? No? Juno Kim?
Here.
There. Carol Moore?
Present.
Thank you. Mary Perdue?
Present.
Thank you. And Sandy is present. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, we'll go to item number four, action items. This is AB 361. We're going to review and make findings required by Government Code subsection 54953E3. Recommendation, continue the virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of the emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risk to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. And then we'll go ahead and take vote on that action item.
I move that the action.
Thank you, and we need a second for Carol Smoore first.
Second.
Second, Charlene seconded. Any objection? Okay, then we'll go ahead and take the vote.
Charlene Ashendorf?
Yes.
Linda Barcelona?
No.
Denise Barnes?
Yes.
Elizabeth Busick?
Yes.
Helen Cameron? Amelia Castro? Jerry Chang?
Yes.
Jean Hernandez? Juno Kim?
Yes.
Carol Moore? Aye. Mary Perdue?
Aye.
And Sandy Stang.
Aye.
And that is majority, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. And then we'll go to item number five, which is senior non-emergency medical transportation update.
Hello. Yes, so for November 10th, we're going to have an increase actually for the time being due to the cost of inflation. So the fixed rate has been adjusted due to the inflation rates. So for the September 22 stats. Let me share my screen here. All right. So the trips provided in Area 1 would be 2,756, Area 2, 1,902, Area 3, 4,619, with the average cost for Area 1 of $53.50, Area 2, $45, and Area 3, $43. Each trip on average per the area would be Area 1 at 5.97, Area 2, 8.31, Area 3, 4.83, with the average cost per mile of Area 1 at almost $9, $8.97. Area 2, $5.41, and Area 3, also $8.97. All right, that concludes the September 22 statistical average for the combined TSR and M2 medical transportation non-emergency needs. Any questions or inquiries?
So when you said the fixed rate is up, are you talking about after September or including September?
This is including September. It's going to go all the way up to January, and the fixed rate would actually be reduced for the average length of the cost for the mileage reimbursements.
That due to the cost of gas going up?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay, any other questions? I don't see any hands yet. Then thank you very much for your report.
You're welcome.
Okay. Moving along, we'll go to item number 6 was our presentation. And this is going to be from Teresa Oliveri, who is a community relations specialist. And she's with OCTA, going to talk about the streetcar project. And this is her background. Teresa has more than a decade of experience leading community outreach programs for the Orange County Transportation Authority. Her current portfolio includes the OC Streetcar Project, the Orange County Rail Maintenance Facilities Project, and the Transit Security and Operations Center. Previous efforts include outreach program implementation during the full span of project development, including environmental design and construction for OCTA's OC Bridges Program, a portfolio of 7 overcrossing, undercrossing projects in North Orange County. So if you're all set, Teresa, go ahead and take it away.
Good morning, everybody, and thank you for the opportunity to talk about our project. I do have a presentation, so I'll begin sharing my screen. Let me know when you see the presentation come up.
Mm-hmm. I see it now.
Okay, great. So, the next slide. There we go. So, this is just a little bit of background on OCTA. Just, we are more than a bus company. We also we partner with Caltrans. We work on freeway projects. We manage the half-cent sales tax that we have here in Orange County for transportation, and we provide funding for streets and roads projects. We are a member of the Joint Powers Associate that has Metrolink in its portfolio, buses, obviously, the 91 express lanes, motorist services, rideshare programs, and then Measure M, which we also refer to as OC Go. So back when our measure tax measure was renewed, included in it was a program referred to as Project S, which is transit extensions to Metro. The purpose being would be we went out to the communities and asked them how do they vision supporting a program that gets people from the commuter rail line into their communities. And so many of the cities around in Orange County, they all got opportunity to partner with other cities that had a Metrolink service in their community. And the project that eventually came to us and was approved and is now under construction is the OC Streetcar Project. So this is just a list of some of the benefits that we believe will, you know, come to pass as we get the service underway in mid-2024. It will, as I said before, bring people who are using the commuter rail service into the downtown, increase the opportunity for persons who are transit dependent to get more easily across the mid-section of Orange County. It'll relieve some congestion. Anytime we can get people out of their cars and into transit, that helps relieve transit for those of us or for those people who still have, get around with their vehicles. And then, the air quality because we're decreasing our dependency on automobiles, and this service runs by electricity. So this is just an opportunity to kind of take a look. You see the transit route here, and these are other projects that have come online that are maybe already in construction or are planned to be constructed as developers kind of take a look at the investment that Orange County is making in this streetcar system. The city of Santa Ana, which has purview over land use decisions, is also making these projects attractive to developers. And this is just an example of some of the projects that are coming online adjacent to the streetcar alignment. So for those, you know, who have traveled around, it's hard to imagine, but this statistic is true, that Santa Ana is the fourth most densely populated city in the country with a population of over 300,000 persons. So, and as well, we have about 40,000 people coming into the downtown civic center every day. So as you see in this graphic here, that's about filling up a Major League Baseball stadium every single day with the number of people coming into the downtown. This is a rendering that shows what the station stop will look like at the Santa Ana train station. You'll see the train will come in, the streetcar will come in. It's what we call level boarding. So you see that the station itself is elevated slightly. I think we have some other images that will show this. And when this train or the streetcar comes into the station, it stops and all doors open, the three sets of doors open, and it's level boarding. So there's no stepping up onto as you do on a bus. Everyone gets on and off, you know, kind of simultaneously, which means that the time that we are at the station itself is reduced. It's a very quick on and off boarding procedure. I included this visual because although unfortunately this building in this image burnt down actually a little bit ago, and there's a new building now in its place of transit-oriented development coming on. The feature here is on Santa Ana Boulevard, the city of Santa Ana is also building a dedicated bikeway path in some of its busiest corridors. And so you may notice here that our station is set off from the sidewalk slightly to incorporate the bike lane, which the bike lane goes directly between our station platform and the sidewalk. So we've integrated it right into the future plans for the city. And as a matter of fact, that bike lane project is being built right now. This image here shows you kind of what our vehicle will look like when it's out in the street. And as well, it shows you a little bit better what the station will look like when it's integrated into the community. This location here is on 4th Street in the downtown section of Santa Ana at French Street. So you see some of the elements, again, the seating, the ticket vending machine, the platform again is elevated. So it makes it very easy, you know, ADA accessible. If you're traveling with a child with a stroller, very quick on and off. Bicyclists can get on and off easily. There's a way in the, we have bike hooks so that people who are biking can have their bike on board or they can just stand with it in the middle. The seating for the streetcar will be kind of on the sides, and there'll be an elevated portion at either end that people can walk to for additional seating. And these vehicles have an operator on board who have to follow all of the traffic rules that everyone else does. So here's a good kind of visual so you can see how easily it is to access when the doors open. This is a complete kind of a visual of the complete route. Was there a question?
Yes.
Okay, I can continue. The route itself is 4.15 miles. We connect with one of the initial places to start is over here at the Santa Ana train station. The route travels all the way down Santa Ana Boulevard. This is kind of a residential area. It goes here, which is around the counties, the county seat, the courthouses, continues to travel along This is Flower. This is where the jail facility is. And then we get back into more of a residential area. Where, when you see this cut line here, this is at Rage Street. This concludes the street running portion. And then it connects up here with the portion of the property known as the Pacific Electric right-of-way. And some of you may remember or recall that there was the red line that came from Los Angeles. It concluded service back in the 50s, but it did. That was a streetcar line that came through from LA down into Orange County. And in fact, when we started our construction, especially in this portion here, just off the PE right-of-way, we did find the old rail ties from that old system. So you see this blue box here on the PE right-of-way, that will be our maintenance and storage facility. That building right now is currently under construction, and that's where all of the service cars will come in at the end of the day to be cleaned and serviced, so they'll be ready to go back out in the morning. So we continue the track here, and the track in the PE right-of-way looks very much like typical railroad track. So it has the rocks, which we call ballast, and you know, and rail ties. We've built a bridge that goes over the Santa Ana River here. We left, there was an old existing bridge that was again part of the old PE right-of-way system. Many communities along the way have gotten rid of those bridges, but because this bridge now has become unique, well, it's not unique, there are a couple more, but it's now on the historical register. And so we preserved that bridge. It could be used in the future for a transportation purpose, such as a bike lane or a pedestrian access, something maybe similar to the High Line, if anybody is familiar with that abandoned rail line in New York City. That's what they've done. The bridge, as we've constructed it, does not preclude that future potential use happening on the old bridge. And then we continue here along the Willowick golf course, if anybody has been there. And then finally, we end up over here, which is at Harbor Boulevard. And the reason why Harbor Boulevard is significant is it gets us into the city of Garden Grove. So it allowed these two cities to partner up and bring this project forward. But OCTA has the heaviest concentration of transit riders move along Harbor Boulevard. So it brings those two trip generators together of Harbor Boulevard and the Santa Ana Metrolink station, which also has Amtrak, together. And those are the two kind of anchors for this initial system. So there may, you know, you may have noticed this project has had some press over the, you know, beginning, I guess, maybe in February when we started a concentration of activities in the downtown. And this just kind of shows what the downtown looks like now. We have two blocks remaining, and this is what people see when they visit downtown. So right over here, this is one of the future platforms, and you can kind of see the rail embedded in the street. This image right here, the second one, kind of shows you the decorative elements that we worked with the city of Santa Ana. They have a vision for what they hope their downtown to look like after our project leaves. And so we've incorporated elements of their future plans in our project to kind of help give a jump start to it. So this just shows the remaining two blocks of work that we started back in August 15th. We will have these last two lanes of traffic in the downtown open prior to Thanksgiving. The Broadway intersection was recently closed, and it's now open. We were able to open it in advance of this October 31 target date. As we were working with the community in the downtown and the city, we took advantage of people's interest in getting this project finished as quick as possible. And so we reorganized some of the activities and restaged some of the intersection closures in order to create more efficiencies, and were able to get the downtown opened quicker than we originally was planned. So once we get the work complete, you'll see all of the different cross sections here along 4th Street and how people will be able to access and get through there. This is just a slide that shows many of the tactics that we've done, that we've engaged in to help keep the community aware of what's going on. We have a what we call an Eat Shop Play program, which provides marketing support to the downtown. We do digital ads for them, as well as more traditional ads. You know, the downtown in Santa Ana is really has a combination of older businesses that have been there for a long time, a lot of quinceañera shops, community places where people have been shopping for many, many years, in addition to kind of a new restaurant scene that has a lot of people coming down for you know, to take advantage of those. And so we've done our best to kind of meet the audiences or the clients or the customers for both of those types of businesses with a variety of tactics that we use to help encourage people to come down. And we've also provided direct funding to business associations that manage, again, publicity and trying to have different kinds of events to bring people to the downtown to help support the businesses while in construction. And that concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. And thank you for the opportunity.
Great presentation. Who has a question? Charlene, do you have a question?
Okay, I would.
Okay, I'm sorry. Elizabeth. Yeah, Juno, go ahead.
I'm familiar with the security system around the streets. Do they have a security camera near the bus stops?
We don't have security cameras on the bus stops, but we have security cameras on the buses.
Oh, I see. Yeah, I wasn't really familiar with it. So I was curious what the situation was. Thank you very much.
Sure. So the cities, the way the bus stops work will be a little bit different for the streetcar. The cities themselves manage and up and are responsible for their bus stops. So they're the ones who come up with, you know, if they have bus shelters, the design of the bus shelters, they're responsible for the trash pickup on the bus, at the bus stops, et cetera. But in the case of the streetcar, OCTA will be responsible for the elements that are on the bus stops themselves. I'm sorry, for the streetcar stops themselves.
Okay, thank you. Elizabeth, I think your hand is next, and then we'll go to Carol and then Denise.
I don't understand how people in South Orange County are going to use this.
If you're someone in South County and you get a jury summons and you would rather perhaps not drive to jury duty, you would be able to take the Metrolink service to the Santa Ana, get off at the Santa Ana stop, and then this service would drop you off right in front of the next to the court. So that would be one way that you could do it. If you're in South County, again, you'd have to use either the Metrolink service itself, or if you would want to drive up to and park your car at the Santa Ana station, you could do that and then take the streetcar for trips around the downtown.
Thank you.
And I'd also heard Teresa on one of the earlier presentations that if you had jury duty and you don't want to move your car at lunchtime, it'd be great to take the operation, because who wants to move their car and put it back in the ramp and all that?
True. Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things I heard, Elizabeth.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We'll go to Carol Moore. You're muted.
Thank you. How many cars will be in operation, and then what would be the cost of a trip?
Sure. So OCTA purchased 8 cars from Siemens. They're currently being built up at their Sacramento offices. There will be 6 cars in service on any given day. So we'll have 2 cars that will be there as backups, and then 6 cars in service. The frequency of service is about every 10 minutes or so during rush hour in both the morning and the afternoon, and then around 15 minutes during the mid part of the day. And on weekends.
Thank you for the presentation. Sure. How long would it take for a trip then from the station to the downtown area?
About 10 minutes. From one side to the other, it's about a half hour. So okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
And the cost to ride will be the same as a bus.
Thank you.
Denise is next.
Hi, I was on city council when we were trying to accept the offer to be included in this streetcar project. And we looked at the cost and we looked at the win-win for both our city and for the county. What was the original budget for this project?
Oh, I'm not 100% sure. I know at one point, in fact, I just had a fact sheet on my desk that I was kind of looking through. And at that point, it was $299 million. And so we are now up to $500 million. There has been obviously significant cost increases since we started construction. The project was delayed getting on board, and there have been a lot of costs. We had, as I mentioned before, some of the things that have incurred that have happened. We've had a lot of, Santa Ana is a very old city. And so even though we did significant amounts of, testing to look at, looking at where the utilities are, every time we put a shovel in the ground, we've run into things that aren't on any plans. And so that causes not only the cost to identify them, which causes a delay, but also the cost to remove them, relocate them in some cases. I mentioned before we found railroad ties that weren't on anybody's plans, fortunately, not in the downtown, but in some other residential sections. And those types of materials have to be dealt with in a very specific way because they have chemicals in them. And so those also require special permits, and that permitting process can take a lot of time. We also found human remains on the project site as we were excavating at the maintenance and storage facility. And so there's another entire process that has to go through where you identify the most likely descendants. And then there's a process of that we are in the midst of following to preserve both the human remains, and the soil around the remains is also considered sacred. And so those all have to be excavated and held off site. And then we are in the process of designing an interment area that we will maintain on the site for the most likely descendants to come back and have opportunities to visit their descendants.
That's very interesting. And how many projects were you involved in your career so far? I heard something over a dozen.
So I've been around OCTA for many, many years. I've been an employee here since 2004. And before that, I worked for an outreach firm, a public outreach firm that had contracts and consulted with OCTA. And so I've been around a long time. I was involved with if any of you are in the kind of Placentia Fullerton area, the great separation projects that go along the Orange Thorpe corridor there at Placentia, Kramer, Tustin Rose, Lakeview. We built those. We also did one down in Irvine. So been around for a little while. I'll be around for a little while longer, I think.
So are you on a consultant?
I'm on staff here. So I'm a staff person here, and we have a consultant team that helps support us. But OCTA believes that, we are spending taxpayer dollars, and we have an obligation and a responsibility to help both educate people about the projects that we're doing, but also have transparency and be available to answer questions. And I think they think that having staff represent the projects and OCTA is an appropriate way to do business.
So in hindsight, is there a max on this project, an absolute maximum? So taxpayers aren't just, continuing to re-up on this project?
So I wouldn't say that there's necessarily a maximum amount. We are, every time we have a large budget increase or we have to adjust the budget in some way, we do have to go to back to the board of directors. We are funded. The project has a combination of funds from both federal, state, and local. So the federal funding that we have is this project received the first full funding grant agreement from what was in the previous administration, the Trump administration. That is a fixed amount. We also have state funds that we have on the project, and we have our own local funds. So if you recall, there was a slide earlier that said Project S. That is a portion of the half cent sales tax goes to distributed to that project, project. And there is still a funding available in that pot of money if there were to be additional routes that that other communities would want to build.
Okay, so this is still in flux, that there might be a continuation to this project. Is that what you're saying?
There isn't a project that's currently being planned. However, OCTA does have a transit master plan. There have been some preliminary studies looking at possibly extending the service on Harvard Boulevard. We've also done some preliminary studies, perhaps connecting at Bristol, that would take service down to the airport. So there isn't a project, I'm putting kind of that in quotes, that we have started on the environmental process with, but there are some thoughts, and our planning department is certainly always looking at other ways that we can, help relieve congestion in the downtown, in around Orange County in general.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions? I have one. This is probably kind of negative, but in the newspaper, I've read a lot of comments from business owners that have lost a lot of business with the streets being ripped up, in addition to coming off of COVID. Mm-hmm. And I know there's a lot of back and forth. Is there any way that they can be helped or assisted? Because some of them have lost almost all their business because you can't get, there isn't any access to get to their store or their restaurant.
So what I would say is that there always has been access to every business and every store in the downtown. It may not have been the most convenient, but the access has always been there. We have not closed sidewalks. So you could always get there. As I said before, and I certainly acknowledge it may not have been convenient, but there are four parking structures in the downtown that have always been available, just a block off. There's two on 3rd Street and two on 5th Street at either end of the corridor, and one that's in the middle, actually, so there's actually five of them. And the city did make those available for free parking during the day and 2 hours of free parking on the weekend. Our OCTA has transportation money, which means that's what we have to spend it on. So we are precluded from providing direct grants to individual businesses. However, and when other projects like this around the country get built, they're done, and typically cities step up through their economic development. They have economic development money that has, that's eligible for direct grants, as well as there's urban renewal money that can do that. And so the city of Santa Ana, as well as the county, have provided funding for businesses. And then they have their program that they run that they've provided. So the city had two $1.3 million investments that they did grants for. The county provided, I think it was an additional 1.5. What OCTA could do and did do was look at what did the city spend. I mentioned before the parking structures that were made free, that OCTA said that we would reimburse the city of Santa Ana for an amount up to about $670,000. to pay for that free parking. So then that would likewise free up the money that they had spent on free parking if they wanted to provide additional grants. And I think there's also some state money that has not yet kind of come through, but is also potentially available. So that really has been a responsibility that the city has taken on, and OCTA has participated financially in that program.
Okay, thank you. Other questions for Teresa? I missed anybody? I don't see any other hands. Thank you, Teresa. It was an excellent presentation.
Thank you. You're
welcome to stay on, but I'm sure you have a busy day ahead. So
okay, yeah. Thanks very much. Appreciate
thank
the time.
Very much. Appreciate Bye. It. Good information. Bye-bye. Okay. We'll go on to chair items. New business. So I attended the OCTA, now they call it Accessible Transit Advisory Committee. Used to be Special Needs Transportation. The biggest takeaway that I had from the meeting, Jean brought this up in one of our other meetings, was during the OCTA strike, the mechanic strike, would the access bus be available for individuals? And we all assumed it would not, but it is. It's somehow in a separate department. So the access bus is still running, which I thought was a good thing. And that was a good question on Jean's part. The other part of the meeting of what they covered was, I'm going to point out to you real quick. They're having some issues with the access bus. Some people that don't show, and then they have problems with the driver showing up, and then they're not there. So they have a group. They send out a letter and let the person know. And you can only miss so many of these appointments. I think it's three. And then they have to go before a committee and explain the reasons why, because it gets expensive to send people out if you're not going to be there. Ridership on the bus is starting to go back up again because it was way down. There are 115 mechanics that were striking for about, I think it was a week. And supposedly they're working together now with the union and trying to figure this all out, but they're back operating again. Let's see, what else do I have? There was an update on 211 ride. That's for also disability type people. And then, let's see. Was there anything I wanted to tell you? There was something else. Oh, the program they put together that just covered parts of Mission Viejo and parts of Aliso Viejo. They're checking it right now. It seems to be going quite well. And they're thinking of if they can expanding it. And this part that I really liked, they're talking about if they could add going to Orange County Airport, which I thought would be great. I think that's about it for the meeting. And then our presentations, a couple things. Our presentation schedule for next year, I wanted to help out the backing up. So every 2 years we change. Oh, I'm sorry, Elizabeth, you have your hand up. You're muted.
Could you explain that part about Mission Viejo and Aliso Viejo? They're talking about expanding. Expanding what?
Oh, they have this special transportation they put together. It's a van and it drives around picking people up, but I might have said that wrong. Maybe it was just Aliso Viejo. I think I said it wrong. I think it was Aliso Viejo and Laguna Hills. I said that wrong. It wasn't Mission Viejo. And they had a van and they were testing it. And you could call, anyone could use it. It didn't matter your age. You can call and they'll come and pick you up at your home. And it wasn't very expensive. It was a few dollars. I think it was $4.50. You paid on your phone and they would get you to your destination. And since it's been going fairly well, they want to expand it if they can get the money together. And that's why I said I was interested, because they were talking about one of the things they wanted to go to was the airport, which I thought would be great. So sorry, I said that wrong. It wasn't Mission Viejo. It was Laguna Hills, part of Laguna Woods, and part of Aliso Viejo. It wasn't even all of Aliso Viejo. They were picking areas that didn't have good bus transportation.
I didn't think it included Laguna Woods.
No, you're right. I said that wrong. It was not Laguna Woods because you have your own transportation. So I'm wrong. It was just Aliso Viejo and a part of Aliso Viejo and part of Laguna Hills. It was kind of confusing because they didn't cover the whole city of each. And they only were trying to give extra transportation for the areas where they had cut out some of the bus routes. And they were having some complaints from some people. So that's how they were testing it that way. That makes sense? Okay. So then on to new business. SCAC has somehow I missed this, but anyway, they changed the rules and we don't vote now for the new chairperson, and they appoint people. So my term will be up because it's 2 years, which I think is really good. I like it that we are rotating. Somebody needs to mute.
It's Jim Levy, and he doesn't even belong to this committee.
Jim, we need you to mute or check out or something. So anyway, I wanted to help out the new person that would take over. And I know we started going through months, and somehow I'm not that good of a secretary and talking at the same time. So I remember, Elizabeth, you picked the end of, I think, the year to get a speaker.
I picked November. That's right.
Okay. I'll get it right this time. So, Elizabeth. And then I said I would do February. Did we have anybody that picked January?
Well, one thing we have to do is get ready for the February meeting where everybody knows about the February meeting, right?
Why don't you explain it to people, especially the new people?
That's where the chair, which will now be Jean, will be in charge of coordinating. We're all going to get together. I don't know if it'll be in person or Zoom, and put together the thing that we're going to then give to the Board of Supervisors. Now, this thing, what are we talking about, this thing that we're giving? Our recommendations to the Board of Supervisors. And so we have to be prepared. What are the recommendations for this from this committee? And I think we better get our act together.
Are you speaking, I'm speaking up here, when you say what we're going to do, you mean for the coming year, or the recommendations, where the committee would be going? Could you explain that? Thank you.
Well, we did it last year, perhaps you recall, and this is what all of SCAC is suggesting. This is what the Senior Citizens Advisory Committee members would like the Board of Supervisors to do regarding seniors.
If you remember, that's how we got the iPads and some of those other things, right, Elizabeth?
That's right.
So that's what she's talking about. That's, we make our recommendations and then they have to take it to the board. It was Lisa Bartlett, but now she has to step down, right, Elizabeth?
That's right. And so Lisa Bartlett was the supervisor for District 5, but now we're doing it to all five supervisors, not just the one.
Oh, okay.
Since I live in Mission Viejo, we've been relegated to District 3. What was wrong with being in District 5? I liked it. Okay, so, but I didn't have any say in it, and why they did this changing of the borders, the boundaries, I have no idea. Who is that benefiting? I have not a clue. But anyway,
I think that was voting, though, Elizabeth. I don't think it had to do anything this specifically. I think it was the lines for the elections, and it was what do you call that? Your voting boundaries. I think that's the way.
I'm in a different district now. I'm no longer in district.
I know. And some of the people that represented us previously don't. That's the winds of change.
That's right. That's true. But anyway, it's not that we're doing it for one district. We're doing it for all five of them. Okay.
And then some of the people might not be aware because we went to the SCAC meeting that Jean's taking over for SCAC next year. So when you said Jean, I think some of the people, Charlene has a question. Some of the people wouldn't be aware that.
Jean Hernandez.
Will be taking over.
He was the vice chair and now he's going to be the chair. We're talking Jean Hernandez. I believe he's on this committee too.
He couldn't be here today. He had another meeting, but yes, he's still on this committee. Charlene has her hand up.
So basically what you're saying is that it may be wise that we leave January open without a presentation so that we can all come together, discuss the priorities that we wish to advance to the Board of Supervisors.
I couldn't agree more. That's what I was thinking.
Thank you.
That's a good suggestion. So whoever the new person is as the chair, then I'll suggest January be the planning meeting for our suggestions, recommendations to the board.
Yes.
Good idea, Charlene.
I would just like to say, I don't see why it has to be appointed. To me, the members of the committee should vote on who they want to be, but
well, that's the way we used to do it.
Exactly. And I thought that part worked fine.
Well, except that when years ago we had one person that was in place for 20 years.
Well, that was horrific.
So
really bad, yes.
My own personal opinion is that's why that came about. And I've been in the position for 2 years and it's a good learning curve. Mm-hmm. And I think it's always good to change and have another person be in charge and they probably have different ideas and suggestions. And I think it's a great idea.
Well, change is essential. When we had that one person for all those years, that couldn't have been worse.
No, I agree with you. But maybe that's how that came about.
Maybe. Could be.
What position are you referring to?
The chair of the Housing and Transportation Committee. So they changed the rules, I'm assuming that I wasn't there then, Elizabeth, but I'm assuming the rules got changed. And even at SCAC, they used to have the same person as president for quite a while, right? And then somehow they changed that. And so everyone's position was 2 years, but I thought Elaine said, now we're going to 1 year. Did I get that right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Now that could be a little chaotic if you change every year, but I guess it's okay. And then Denise Barnes, what month do you want to take for a presentation?
I understand Doug Chafee is going to continue on, and I'm appointed through him, his office. So I really want to stay on housing and transportation. And I really would love, love, love to see Mr. Poynter give us some very good ideas regarding his legislative arm. And you, Elizabeth, also, you're in that group. Anyone else that's in that group, so we can push this forward and recognize what's already in the queue. Maybe, you know, the supervisors just need to hear a little bit more muscle from us, how this has to get over the finish line. Any thoughts, Elizabeth?
So you're saying we ought to work on what we already have as far as the California Senior Legislature goes?
Yes, if it's in regards to housing and transportation. At least consider it in our next meeting so we can really soak it in and then see if it just needs to be tweaked and why maybe it didn't past the first round with the supervisors, but
you know, we've been stuck with COVID for quite some time, and I'm sure there's some good suggestions in there somewhere.
Oh, so how would you propose we do this, Denise? Like, you mean you want him to make a presentation to us, or what are you referring to?
You know, he has, but yes, I would like to I would like to question him specifically in housing and transportation, and see what he has, and then for us to all go and at least talk to some of our seniors in our community and see what's on their mind that we might have skipped, especially when it comes to that extra money that's allotted for the Board of Supervisors. How much money are we talking about? How grandiose can we make this proposal to them?
I think one of the concerns that I would think about is that what are the major problems for seniors? And I would tend to think for housing and transportation, I would tend to think inflation. Because what I tend to think, and that's why it'd be a good idea to prioritize these and really think about it. Inflation means those people whose money isn't growing are falling further and further behind. And so that's going to affect, the first thing is going to be food, obviously, and then shelter is right there next, and transportation. So I guess I would think about what is ineffective in what we do? What's the least effective, let me put it that way, of what's happening right now, and how could we make that more effective?
And we need to come up with suggestions.
Yeah, but if we know the problems, it seems to me that we can't have solutions. I mean, coming up with solutions makes them isolated from problems. And seems to me, first you look at the problems and say, okay, here's the problem. And it starts with money, obviously. But how the solutions that you have, generally speaking, they're not 100%. They rarely can be 100%. So if they can't be 100%, do they need to be changed? Do they need to be made more effective? And how can you make those more effective?
Sandy, are you proposing we do this at our next meeting because it's not agendized right now, or what are our...
You mean the planning portion for next year? For the
The strategic plan forward.
I'm trying to help out the new person that will be the chair, because they're going to be like, what am I doing here? So I'm going to suggest, based on what the group has just said, that our January meeting, instead of a presentation, mm-hmm. have our planning meeting, but we have to figure out a way, how do I say this? Online, it's hard to have a planning meeting that's really effective unless we send out, kind of going to Carol Moore's point, do we send out questions to everyone? Like, what are the issues? Or have you talked to the seniors? Or, because to just say we're going to have a planning meeting is very vague. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And on Zoom, I think it's even, I don't know if this is a word, but more vague, because it's more difficult. So I think what I would do with the new person is suggest they send out, I don't know if it should be questions, maybe you guys have an idea or thoughts or comments, so that when we go round table, everybody knows ahead of time what we're going to talk about. I mean, at least the topics.
I think you need to do this, because if we wait we meet on the second Thursday of the month. I think.
Well, I'll get together with the new person, and I'll definitely try to help them as much as I can.
Because we all need to come to the meeting with suggestions.
Exactly. And that's why I'm saying we need.
You don't come just thinking, okay, I'm here. That's right. Not good enough.
We need specific topics so that everyone's prepared to talk on those topics. Or subjects, or whatever you want to call it.
You should make suggestions.
Yeah, Charlene has her hand up, and then Denise.
So it might be easy if we start with what we presented last year.
Yes.
And that's the foundation so that people who've been involved, well, that they have more history on that, but with some of the newer folks, they can say, okay, this is what we looked at. We have to have a starting point. That may be helpful, Sandy and Elizabeth, for the planning. And if we have that as a jumping off point, we can really be more prepared for the January discussion.
Absolutely. And that needs to get sent out like now, not, you know, not bring it, you know, bring it to the January meeting. No, we need to start thinking about that now so that we're ready for the January meeting.
Okay.
That's an excellent suggestion. That's
a very good idea.
Without that, I mean, you really don't know where to go.
Right. That's good. All right, Denise.
I liked what Carol presented about finding what is the number one effect on our seniors and how we can then try to resolve that problem. And I've found that at the Meals on Wheels, people are always saying, I just don't have enough money for groceries. Every month it just gets higher and higher. How am I going to buy my prescriptions? How am I going to feed my pet? How am I going to, you know, take care of my toiletries and all the little things that just add up? And I think especially groceries have to be looked at. I know it isn't within our committee right here, but I do find that anytime you're not having healthy, thriving seniors, you set yourself up for a big catastrophe. And I think what I try to do is try to get the food bank to do these distributions for seniors only, so that way they can come and get whatever they need. And it doesn't even have to be on a daily basis. It could be just once a week and they get enough for that 1 week. On the housing side, though, I think caregivers is another one. We have to be able to have enough information out there for people to say, I need a caregiver, but I don't need 6 hours. I don't need 8 hours. And I do know of a company that says no minimum, no maximum. And I was like, what? Very, very good way to let our seniors know it's not impossible. And if you need somebody for a couple hours while you're recouping or a couple hours while you're, you know, laying in bed, we should get that information out there. Just, you know, brainstorming, like Elizabeth's saying, we need to get our minds around this and be able to bring this to the table for our next discussion. Thank you.
Very good. Carol has her hand up.
Yeah, I was thinking that another thing having to do with housing, I see this as I thoroughly agree. A number of years ago, my husband and I participated in a situation where we helped, I think it was paint someone's house, as I'm thinking back on it. Housing isn't just getting more of it necessarily. I mean, that's good too, but how the strains on people who are finding their money doesn't go so far means taking care of what they have. And I wonder if that would be something to look at, seeking volunteer groups to help, you know, seeking the materials, number one, but seeking volunteer groups to help do that, to help maintain seniors who would be put on a list. I mean, that's another possibility.
That's very good. Yeah, that's a good one. There's all kinds of housing maintenance projects that would help people stay in their home longer. Denise.
In our city, we have what's called Love Anaheim. I don't know if the rest of the county participates in that nonprofit for their own city. But Love Anaheim has weekly projects. It's not just going to parks and, you know, putting down sod or picking up stuff. They go to mobile home parks. They will wash your trailer. They will come inside, check your smoke detector, check your furnace heater filter. Oh my gosh, they have gone to yards and cleaned up after a person's passed away, or the city has cited them and they come out and they do it for free. And if we could contact more church groups or more like goals, there's other nonprofits. There's a whole list of them. Again, get this information out to the seniors so their house doesn't become dilapidated or sighted or become a safety problem, a pack rat situation. Everything is about being healthy and thriving. And if the city, if the county even has grants or whatever for that, then we need to push for that money to be allocated in those directions falling under that umbrella, especially those that are disabled or those that are needing extra hands around the house before the situation gets to where now they have dementia or other frailties and cannot make good decisions. We have to get ahead of the game is the way I see it. And we can do this. I know we can. We just have to all be collaborative, not all, you know, on our own little city. We have to collaborate together to bring this to the board.
That's a good point. I like that, Denise, working together with all the cities, not just one city at a time. Carol, did you have another comment?
I don't, no.
Okay, I saw your hand. Anybody else? We catch everybody? Okay. And I just reminded everyone what our goals are, housing for all ages and stages and affording aging. And then number 8 would be announcements and roundtable. This could be anything about what's going on in your city or anything you have for housing and transportation. So let's start with Elizabeth.
I don't have anything.
Okay. How about Charlene?
Well, it's not housing and transportation directly, but last week I missed our SCAC meeting because I was attending a veterans honoring veterans event at Irvine Valley College where Cadi Petrie Norris recognized 6 veterans. And since I have learned so much about veterans through this membership with SCAC, it was so wonderful. The City of Irvine recognized an 89-year-old Marine female. She was the only woman in the group. And it was just heartwarming to hear how many of these veterans are giving back to our community, what they're doing. They haven't left their service when they left serving. They are still serving in the community. So sorry I missed the meeting, but I was enjoying and representing elsewhere.
Sounds like you had a good reason to miss the meeting. That sounds very good. But it was nice to meet an 89-year-old female vet. Yay. Linda Barcelona.
I don't have anything. Thank you, though.
Denise.
My comment here would be, there is a senior expo coming up this Saturday. I don't know if you guys are aware of it.
I saw that.
It's the Orange County Senior Expo. It says Golden Future 50 Plus North Orange County Edition. And it is going to be at the Sheraton Park Hotel on Harbor from 9 to 1:30. I was impressed at all the different speaker schedule. But especially then anything like health screening and then highlights of having free haircuts and manicures. I might have to go.
Free manicures?
Yes. Nail manicures from 10 to 1:30.
Wow.
And then Professional Institute of Beauty will host a free haircuts and nail manicures. So you can also get paid for participating in a clinical trial on Alzheimer's research. I can send you all this invitation, but those types of things just make me feel so warm and happy that this is a community that is in so desperate need to just be pampered and you know, taken care of, and that the siblings of these seniors would attend also to get educated and not fall into this and then say, what do I do? I don't know anything about this. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate things like this, but yeah, I'm looking forward to our next meeting now that we've talked. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Let's see. Is Amelia on?
She's absent.
I thought so. Jerry.
Okay, if next, you know, meeting on January, maybe we can do like a, you know, group discussion, like last time we have the, you know, party together. So have a group discussion, get some conclusion, then brainstorm everybody. Then we have make some suggestion for by each group. Then we submit it, you know, to the committee. Then we get the whole committee conclusion. Then we can submit to the Board of Supervisors. So that's why if we have an in-person meeting, I think it's better than, you know, the Zoom for group discussion, I think that. Yeah, that's my suggestion.
I could be wrong.
We already voted that we're going to have a Zoom.
So we can't
vote it on.
Oh yeah, we have vote. I say in case we have in person, I think maybe we can like a groupy discussing and we can get some conclusion. That's
what Elizabeth is saying was we just voted to have our next meeting, which would be January online, yeah, on Zoom. They have all these rules and regulations about this, and so I don't remember them all, but
right, and once you vote, that's it.
Yeah.
So we, oh, okay.
We can't meet in person now.
Right.
Correct, yeah, Elizabeth?
But we still need a, like a brainstorm, you know, together. That's why.
Yeah. That's why we were saying we need to, or I'll need to formulate some good comments or questions so everyone's prepared for the meeting.
Okay.
Thank you for your comments.
Okay.
Juno, are you still on?
Not really, but Jerry's idea, if we can somehow change and implement, I'm sure I'm going to talk the subject with Jerry for sure. What, as far as the minority, the communities required. But yeah, I'll try my best to come up with some the idea. But I'm thinking something drastic, you know, so that we can push the politicians. We don't have to, with something really out of ordinary, like, hey, we want $500 to every senior citizen or something for housing and transportation. And you come up, you guys come up with money. You know, something, that's what I was thinking. That's all.
Okay, thank you. That's a nice idea, but I don't know how we're going to find $500 for each person.
Yeah, I mean, you know, something, some idea has to be crazy to stimulate the politicians. I think that's the only way. And there's the increased number of senior citizens. They are the one who will actually vote.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Carol?
No, I don't have anything further to add.
Okay, thank you. Is Mary on today? Purdue? I don't think she is. Okay, my comment would be, I volunteer at the Lake Forest Senior Center, which is called the Clubhouse. And I'm always amazed at the number of people that come in. As a volunteer, I'm also supposed to tour them on the facilities and what we have to offer the seniors. And some people have lived in Lake Forest for 30, 40 years, and they know nothing about anything we have. They're sitting around their house bored out of their mind. It's always kind of interesting to me The city sends out so much information. There's newsletters and all kinds of things. And I guess people don't read their mail. And we show the seniors, you know, how to register for classes with Saddleback or IVC. And it's always just amazing to me that once they find us, they're so happy because, as I can't remember who said, they're sitting around their house bored out of their, I think it was Denise, bored out of their mind. And there's so many things to do. And the, almost all the cities have so much to offer that it's just kind of amazing to me. So I guess they're just not paying attention and they're not in the know. And for me, once I started with one thing, it led to another thing and to another thing. And you just get involved, and it's, I think it's a great way to be retired. But that's just my comment. Kind of interesting to me. So do we have anything else that we missed or anything else anyone wants to say?
Only that Denise has sent all of us the Golden Future 50 Plus Senior Expo in North Orange County. So we all have received
that. Oh, great. Thank you, Denise. Oh, and then I forgot too, do we have any public comment?
No public.
We did not receive any public comments in advance. There is one guest in attendance. If you would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press star 9 and I will unmute you. Sorry, seeing no hands, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I'm going to adjourn the meeting unless there's anything else anyone has to say or anything we missed. So we'll go ahead and adjourn the meeting and we'll see everyone on January 12th at 9:30 in the morning, and that will be 2023.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Yes, you too. Have a great holiday.